Chav Gimel Amid Beis, 23B. Yeah, but we're going to start from 1, 23B1. Okay, right. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah. Start from the Gemara. We're almost done. We're going to finish up soon. Let's start right after the fourth of the wide lines, which says Gemara. Okay, in the Mishnah it said that Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel says that any person who's chayiv kares and gets malchus instead of kares is freed from kares. Okay, that means he's doing a veyed on Yom Kippur. So the punishment for eating Yom Kippur is you get kares. So if you get malchus, then you don't get you get out of kares. You're not going to die from mitzvah de shemayim. So Amir Rabbi Yechanan and said chalukin olav chaver of Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. The friends of Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel argued on him, and they said that even if you get malchus, you're still going to get kares. Okay. So Amir Ravada Barava, Amir Ravada Barava, Ravada Barava wanted to prove that Rabbi Yechanan was right that they argue. Why? Because it says Amir Beis Rav in the yeshiva of Rav, they brought down that Tanina could be proven from a Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Ein bin Shabbos liyom HaKippurim, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Meaning, whatever is forbidden on Shabbos is forbidden on Yom Kippur. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur? Shezeh zedeine b'dei Adam. Shabbos, if you desecrate Shabbos openly and you were warned, you get stoned. Meaning, Bezdin kills you. And Yom Kippur, the punishment for doing malacha on Yom Kippur is kodesh. So he says, v'im isa. And if you're going to say by getting malchus, you get out of kodesh. So both are the hands of people. Meaning, even Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur is you get kodesh. But if you get malchus, you get out of kodesh. So who's punishing you, bottom line? The courts are punishing you, not Hashem. So, L'cheiru, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Shabbos, Bezdin kills you, and Yom Kippur, Bezdin whips you. So, there's a difference. So, he says, Rav Nachum ben Yitzchok Omar, Rav Nachum ben Yitzchok answers, Rav Yitzchok, Yomani Rav Yitzchok, our Mishnah goes, this Mishnah goes according to Rav Yitzchok. What does Rav Yitzchok say? The Amar Malkus, Bechai V'Krisis Lekom. Rav Yitzchok holds this Mishnah that says there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, except this Hashem kills you and this Bezdin kills you, that goes according to Rav Yitzchok. What does Rav Yitzchok hold? There's no difference that on Yom Kippur, Kodesh, you don't get Malchus. There's no Malchus by Kodesh. Not like Rav Hananya ben Gamliel. Why? The Tanya, Rabbi, you learned in the Braise, Rav Yitzchok came and Rav Yitzchok says, Chai v'krisis b'chlal hoyu. When the Torah speaks about the forbidden relations, the adulterous relations, the incestuous relations, so the Torah says, every aveda of arayis, of adultery, you get kares. So if so, v'lam me'yotzis kares b'chaisei, why does the Torah say, if you live with your sister, if you have relations with your sister, you get kares? A sister is not any different than all the other relations. So why is the Torah saying all the avedis you get kares, and then if you do it with your sister, you get kares? It is part of it already. But he says l'dayni b'kares v'leila malchus. What does it teach us? That you only get kares and not malchus. Meaning, there's a rule in Torah: davar shi'ayu b'chlal v'yotze min haklal l'lamed lo l'lamed alat me'yotze el l'lamed al haklal klu yotze. This we say before davening every day in Rabbi Shmuel. What does it mean? Something that was included in a rule and then was made an exception to the rule, it doesn't only teach for itself, it teaches about everything in the rule. Now what's the case over here? Every forbidden relations is kares. Hashem kills you. Then the Torah comes along and says, and by the way, if you do it with your sister, it's also kares. But so why is the Torah making an exception? The answer is the Torah wants to teach us that you only get kares. The Torah is telling us a second time, so to speak, to tell us the Aveda is only punishable by Kodesh, nothing else. And by teaching us the sister, it teaches us any type of Aveda of Kodesh, you only get Kodesh, you do not get Malkus. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchok holds, not like Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel. Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel says, if you get Kodesh, you get Malkus anyway. And if you get Malkus, Hashem is not going to kill you. Rabbi Yitzchok argues and says there's no Malkus by Kodesh. An Aveda of Kodesh, your Bezdin will not give you Malkus. They won't even touch you. Hashem will kill you in the proper time. So really, Rabbi Hanani ben Yitzchok is a little bit easier. Because he holds, Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel, I mean, he holds you get Malkus and then you don't get Kodesh. But he holds you're going to get Kodesh. Because there's no Malkus when it comes to Kodesh. No, because the bottom line was you did a negative commandment, and for all negative commandments, there's Malkus. Now, yeah. So if Beis Din kills you, see, if that's you openly desecrate Shabbos, you were warned and everything. Okay, so technically, you should get two punishments: Malkus because you transgressed the law, plus stoning for Shabbos. So there's a rule: Kim le bedrabe mine, you only get the bigger of the two punishments. But that's only when Beis Din is going to do both. Beis Din can only do one. But if it's an aveda of kodesh where Hashem kills you, there's no kim leiv rabbi mine in that case. So therefore, you're going to get malchus because you transgressed a negative commandment. And the Torah says, any negative commandment that you do, you're going to get malchus. In addition to that, you're going to get kodesh. So Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel says, 1 minute, once you get Malkus, you're not going to get Kodesh anymore. Right? Rabbi Yitzchok learns, the fact that the Torah by Kodesh says by sister, again Kodesh, meaning you don't get Malkus, so the Torah is telling us this is a special din. The Torah is teaching us a din, that when there's Kodesh, you don't get Malkus. You transgress the negative commandment, you should get Malkus anyway. So the Torah teaches us no. That the fact that you get Kodesh, you don't get Malkus. Where do we learn it out from? From the fact that the Torah by a sister says you get Kodesh, again, even though it's part of the rule, is to teach us you only get Kodesh. So this is, Rabbi Yitzchok holds, this is the exception. But it'll be like an interesting thing. But nowadays we don't get Kodesh either. But what happens if a guy escaped Beis Din and he didn't get Malkus? Yeah, there were no witnesses. Because Malkus you can only get if you were warned and there were witnesses. What happens if a guy ate on Yom Kippur, or he ate Chametz on Pesach, whatever the Aveda was, and he knew it was forbidden, but nobody saw him? He's going to get Kares. You could do Tshuva. If you do Tshuva, Hashem will take away the Kares. But until you do Tshuva, the person would have, you don't need Hasrof for Kodesh. Because the Gemara says, that we learned before, the whole reason why you need warning is to know if the guy did it accidentally or intentionally. Hashem knows what you did it. Hashem doesn't need Hasrof. So if Hashem knows you did it b'mezid, intentionally, Hashem is going to give you Kodesh. If you didn't do it intentionally, Hashem knows you didn't do it intentionally. You forgot it was Yom Kippur. You didn't know, you can't, whatever. So then Hashem is not going to give you Kodesh. But you can have a case. It's not, if you were warned, Beis Din is going to give you Malkus. If you're going to get Malkus, you're not going to get Kodesh. That means if the guy was about to eat Chometz on Pesach, and two Eidim came to him, kosher witnesses, and said, Boychik, it's Pesach, and you're not allowed to eat it, and if you eat it, you're going to get Kodesh. And the guy eats it anyway. They're going to take him to Beis Din. Beis Din is going to whip him. According to Rabbi Hanani ben Rabbi Gamliel, he's not going to get Kodesh. According to Rabbi Yitzchok, they're not even going to take him to Beis Din. There's no Malkus by Kodesh he holds. So even if they warned him, according to Rabbi Yitzchok, in the Braisa, they will not take him to Beis Din to get Malkus. because there's no Malkus by Karis according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Hanan ben Gamliel says there is Malkus, and not only is there Malkus, but once you get Malkus, you're not going to get Karis.
So then the case of Karis never would apply being a Malkus.
Yeah, but if a guy didn't get Malkus, he wasn't warned. He wasn't warned. So Bezin can't give him Malkus if you're not warned. So Hashem knows you did the Aveda, or there's no Edim. A guy in his own house ate a bread sandwich on Pesach, and he knew that you're not allowed to. Nobody saw him, nobody heard him, nothing. Hashem will give him Karis. The whole case over here of Malkus, possibility is only if you were warned and the Edom caught you and, you know, they brought you to Bezdin. But if you weren't warned, there's no way you're going to get Malkus. So then you'll get Karis. When? For Malkus or for Karis? Karis doesn't need Hasra.
Just
Edom? No. Well, Edom need to know if you did it or not. Hashem knows if you did it or not. Hashem doesn't need Edom. Hashem doesn't need to warn. The whole Asra is to know if the person did it intentionally or not. Like this, a guy could say, I didn't know you're not allowed to eat chazer. I didn't know. So when witnesses warn you, you're not allowed to eat chazer, he can't say, I didn't know you're not allowed to. He can't say, I thought they were joking. So what's the purpose of Asra? The Gemara said before, to know the difference between Shaiga Gemezit. Because if a guy ate chazer accidentally, he didn't know it was chazer. He thought it was kosher meat. And he ate it. He's not going to get Malkus. Because he did a b'shoigig. Ravashi, Amar Ravashi answers, Afilu teme Rabbanan. The first Mishnah can even go according to the Rabbanan. Why does the Braisa say there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur? That Yom Kippur is Kaddis and Shabbos is Malkus, Shabbos would be Dei Adam. The Gemara says you're right, but nevertheless it says the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, because Zeh Ikas Doine Bnei Adam, Bidei Adam. The main punishment by Shabbos is Bezdin kills you, and by Yom Kippur is primarily Hashem killing you. He says you're right. By Yom Kippur it's possible to get Malkus and you're not going to get Karis. But primarily, what's the punishment for Shabbos? Skila. What's the punishment for Yom Kippur? Karis. And the Gemara says, Amar Ravada bar Ava, Amar Rav. Ravada bar Ava said the name of Rav. Halacha k'Rav Hananya ben Gamliel. Halacha is k'Rav Hananya ben Gamliel. Meaning, the punishment is, once you get Malkus, you're not going to get Karis. That's what Rav Hananya ben Gamliel holds, and he says, that's the halacha. So, Amar Rav Yisrael says a very interesting question. Man Salak Leila, did anybody ever go up to heaven for us and come back? The Amar tells us what goes on over there. The Gemara made a statement. Yeah? If you get Malkus, you're not going to get Karis. Yeah? So the Gemara asked, did anybody ever go up to heaven to know if a guy, maybe he, how do you know? How do you say a statement? It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash that if you get Malkus, you're not going to get Karis. He says, how could you say a statement, Rav Hananya ben Gamliel, and the halacha is like that statement, that if you get Malkus, you're not going to get Karis. How do you know? Did anybody go up to heaven to see what's doing there? Amalei Abaye asked Rav Yosef a question. He asked back a question. It says, Amalei Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Shleisha Devarim Asa Bezdin Shamata. Bezdin down here did three things. V'eskimol Bezdin Shomai La Yodim. And Bezdin in heaven agreed. The Gemara says, the earthly Bezdins did three dinim, and Hashem agreed. So he's going to ask, how do you know Hashem agreed? He told you. The Rav Yosef's question is, how do you know if you get Malkus, you're not going to get Karis? Did anybody ever go up? So Abaye said, and all the other Gemaras that said, Hashem agreed. Did anybody go up there to see? What are the three things? He says, interesting things. Ella, he says, he's finishing it. Ella, what is it? He has Mansala Gleil of Asa. Did anybody go up to heaven to know? Ela Kror Kadashinim. They derived it from Psukim, as the Gemara is going to say. Hachanami Kror Kadashinim. We also learn it now from a Pasuk. Meaning, in the Mishnah, when Rav Hanani ben Gamliel said his din, he brought a proof from a Pasuk. Why? Because the Pasuk says as follows. When you get Malkus, V'nikla Achicha Le'inecha. Once you became embarrassed, you're called brother. So the Torah says, if you get Malkus, you're a brother again. Meaning you're a full-fledged Jew. So then why are you going to get cars? Now that the Gemara is learning, it's not, you don't need to go up to heaven to find out if somebody's going to get Karis or not. The fact that the Torah says, once you get Malkus, you're called Achicha, you're called the Jewish brother, that itself shows that you don't get Malkus. I mean, that you're not going to get Karis. Because you're a brother, you're not going to get Karis. But now the Gemara is going to talk about the three things that the earthly Beis Din instituted and Beis Din Shamayla agreed. What are the three things? Gufa, we learned before, Amr B'Shur ben Levi. Shleisha Devarim also Beis Din Shomata. Beis Din Shomata did three things. Iskimu Beis Din Shomayla al Yodim. And Beis Din Shomayla agreed. What are the three things? Mikra Megillah, to read Megillah and Purim, that the Chachamim Institute is one of the seven mitzvahs of the Rabbanan. U'she'ila Sholim B'Shem, greeting somebody else with God's name. I'll explain what this means in a second. Va'avos Meisir, and bringing Meisir. Now Rashi and Tosfos a little bit argue over here, the other Mefarshim. When Meisir goes to the Levi, Truma goes to the Kohanim. When the Ezra came to build the second Beis HaMikdash and to take the Jews out of Bavel, so a lot of the Jews didn't go. They had a difficult time with Jews then also. Ezra wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash, a good majority of the Jewish people refused to go. And they had a good time in Golis. What do they need? They lived in Beverly Hills of Bavel. What do they need? What do they need Eretz Yisrael for? So basically, the Jews refused. A lot of the Jews were Levium that refused to go. The Levium refused to go up. So Ezra fined the Levium, and he said, Meisir is now going to the Kohanim. You don't want to go up to Eretz Yisrael? Fine, I'm making Meisir into Kohanim. Why did Ezra do it? Because there's no Kedusha in Meisir. The 10% that you give the Levi, there's no holiness to Truma is holy. Truma can only be eaten by a Kohen, you have to be Tahar. You know, Truma, the food becomes holy. Meisir is just a monetary thing. The Levium need to live, so the Torah says give them 10% of your crop. But there's no Kedusha to the Kohen. The Levium could do whatever they want with the Meisir. They could sell it, they could throw it out, they can... There was no Kedusha at all to Meisir. Huh? Because their cars weren't allowed into the country. You know that when Ezra went up to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says, Ezra had to tell the Jews, get rid of your shiksas. Ezra says in the Pasuk, Asiru Nashim Nachis, I remember the exact lashon over there in the Pasuk. In the days of Ezra, the Eden were married with shiksas, and Ezra fought for Yiddishkeit. There was a big problem with the Jews then. So the Levium didn't go up. So Ezra said, Levium are not going up to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, Levium who work at the Beis HaMikdash don't want to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. He gave him a fine.
But they wouldn't get Masa in the Babel anyway.
Yeah, but he said when they finally went up or whatever. No, a lot of places in Babel did get Meisir. It was a... When the Jews lived in Babel, there's a certain dinim of Meisir.
What about the rest of the Levium? What did they do?
Huh?
Some Levium went up.
Yeah, but most of them didn't, so he made that fine. Taisus of Epirsha Kuntris, Shekonas Ezra Leviim, Ezra find the Leviim, Vetikin Sheavilo Kohanim Kamea Truma. Other Mefarshim learned something else, that they deposited in different places and they did gave it out to the poor people. You know, different aspects that went on over there. But the Gemara says that Beis Din Shomata, the earthly Beis Din, instituted three things and God agreed. Now, Rav Yosef asked before the question, how do you know you went up to heaven and they told you? So the Gemara answered before, Abaye said, they learned psukim. When 46, middle of the page, and 46. So the Gemara explains now, how do you know Bezdin agreed to the three things that the Jews did? Mikra Megillah, how do we know that Hashem agreed that the Jews should institute reading the Megillah? Because it says in the Megillah of Esther, Kimu v'kiblo ha-Yehudim. The Jews confirmed and they accepted. So it says, Kimu l'mayla. Well, what's the double expression? They confirmed and they accepted? It should say they accepted the mitzvahs. What does it say? They confirmed and accepted? So he says, Kimu l'mayla. They confirmed above. Mashakiblu l'mata, what they accepted in the earthy Bezdin. Meaning, Hashem confirmed what the Bezdin instituted. So the earthy court, after the story of Purim, instituted reading the Megillah. The Pasuk says Hashem agreed to it. Kimu maila maila, Hashem agreed. The She'ila Shalom, what is this issue of giving peace, greeting another with Hashem's name? The Chsev, it says in the Pasuk, in the story of Rus, it says the following. Hine Beyaz bought me Beis Lechem. Beyaz came back to his farm from Beis Lechem. And he said to the people harvesting, he said, Hashem imachem. He didn't say Shalom Aleichem. He said Hashem Aleich, Hashem imachem. Which means, in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, they used to greet people with God's name. Now the question is, how can you say God's name? It's Hashem's name in vain. The answer is, the Chachamim said, that because you're greeting another Jew, it's not called in vain. So this is what the Chachamim means, because in Torah you don't find such a concept of greeting somebody with God's name. So the Gemara says that here they instituted, that Bayez instituted, that you can greet somebody. Oh, 1 second. V'ayman, the Pasuk says, Hashem imcha gibir achayil, may Hashem be with you, mighty man of valor, which is in Shaftim. So the Gemara asks right away, says, my v'ayman, what does it mean? Why do you need two proofs from two psukim? Why isn't one proof enough? So Gemara says, V'chi teima bayasu David midaiti. Maybe Bayas did it on his own. U'mishmaya le'eskima yodi, but heaven didn't agree with him. Maybe Bayas did it on his own, but Hashem didn't agree. Tashma v'eme, that the Pasuk says, coming, Hashem says, Hashem imcha gibir chayil. Hashem is with you. So you see, that's not only Bayas is doing, that's coming from Hashem. So you see that Hashem agreed that you should meet somebody, greet somebody with a proper name. So Shulchan Aruch says that the reason why this is not done today, because, in fact, we do say Shalom Aleichem, because we're not on the same level that they were then. And I'll give you examples where we're not on the same level as the earlier generations. So because we're not on the same level of Kedusha of the earlier generations, the Chacham said is going to get out of hand. So therefore they said, we're going to say Shalom Aleichem. Because Hashem is also called Shalom. So instead of saying Hashem Imachem, may God, they used to not say Hashem, they used to, the real way. They used to say Hashem be with you. So nowadays we say Shalom Aleichem. Shalom refers to Hashem. So you give Shalom Aleichem. Which is the source, by the way, of the Halach. This is the reason. A lot of people don't know this. But in a mikveh, you're not allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to somebody. If you're in the bathroom, and the guy walks in, you can't say Shalom Aleichem in the bathroom. In a place where you're not allowed to say Hashem's name, you're not allowed to say Shalom Aleichem. You're not allowed to go to a mikveh, you greet, oh, I didn't see you for a long time, Shalom Aleichem. You're not allowed to say that in a mikveh, because Shalom Aleichem refers to God be on you. But we're not on the same level of Kedusha, so we don't, the Chacham later generations knocked it back to level of Shalom. You find the same thing, by the way. The whole Meida Ani Lefanecha that we say every morning, you won't find anywhere in the Gemara. If you look in the Gemara, the Jews woke up in the morning before Negel Vasser, they said, Alakai Neshama Shenasati Bi Tehedahi. But the whole Bracha, Before Nitilat Yadayim. Later, as the generations lowered themselves, so they said, we're not in the same level of Kedusha that when they woke up after a sleep, the Neshama was upstairs and it was a great level and everything was going fine. So it says, they knocked it back to say, Meidani Lefanecha. Why do we say Meidani Lefanecha? Simply because there's no mention of Hashem's name in it. So therefore, you can say it before Netila. But, Halakai Neshama Shenazata be, that has Hashem's name. But in the early generations, they did say it before Netila. So same thing the Gemara is saying over here. In the time of Boaz, the people didn't say Shalom Aleichem, they said Hashem Imachem. And the Gemara instituted, the Beis Din instituted that that's not called saying Hashem's name in vain, because it was a way of greeting somebody. But later, when the Kedusha went down, they knocked it down a little bit. What? No, it says if a guy's name is Shalom, you could do it. If a guy's name is Shalom, you're allowed to do it because you're not calling God. In fact, the Gemara talks about that. Al Mayata, you shouldn't, Shalom. But if it's Shalom, then it's the name of a person. Some people don't say the word Shabbos in a mikveh. People will call it the Zibetet. Seventh day, they'll call it. They won't say, they'll say, where are you going for this? In your day, they'll say, where are you going for the Zibetet? For the Shvi? You know, where are you going for the seventh day? But that's already because they feel Shabbos is a holy name. They don't want a holy word. They don't want to say Shabbos in a mikveh. Some people don't talk at all in a mikveh. But you can't say Shalom Aleichem in a mikveh. That's clearly. Okay, then the third thing that he brought was Avos Meiser. That he bringing of Meiser. What's his concept of bringing Meiser? Because it says in the Pasuk, Hevius kol ha-Meiser beis ha-Eser, he said, bring all the Meiser to the storehouse. Vayhi terev b'beisi, and it'll be food in my house, meaning for the Kayanim and the Levium to eat. And Hashem says, there's a remarkable Pasuk, U'b'chanuni na b'zeis. Hashem says to the Jews, test me with this. Amar Hashem Tzvois, Imlei Avta Al-Chachem, that if you bring the tzedakah, it's an interesting thing, there's a very special Gemara. The Gemara says this is the only mitzvah you can test God with. Like this, you're not allowed to test God, you know, make deals with God. You can't make deals with God. I'll keep Shabbos, you give me money. Here it says, bring the tzedakah, Truman Maiser, to the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem says, "Ubechanuni naz bezeis, test me with this. Im le'eftach lachem es harubis hashamayim, that if I won't open up for you the windows of the heaven, varikesi lachem bracha ad b'lidai, and I'll give brachas unlimited." So the Gemara says, "My ad b'lidai." This is where the song comes from, by the way. What does it mean, ad b'lidai? Amar Ami bar Rav, at sheyivlo sifseisechem melei medai. You won't even be able to say enough anymore. There'll be such an abundance, your mouth will get sick of telling Hashem enough already. You'll be so, Hashem will give you so much that you won't even have the koyach to tell him enough already because you said it too many times already. There'll be a, so this is where the song comes from. Kesi lachem brachas, this is Gemara, by the way. So this is the whole, at sheyivlu sifseisecha melei medai, that your lips will become warmed out from saying, die enough. So the Gemara basically says, these are three psukim, the three things that the Beis Din Shomata did, and Hashem agreed, and you learn it out from psukim, that Hashem agreed to each one of the three. No, because Hashem says, bring the Maaser to the Beis HaEtzer. Yeah. Right? So, in other words, he says, Ezra said that you should also have a chelik in it. So he says, this is what it means, terev beisi, food for the Kayanim and the Levium. Because basically the Kayanim lived in the Beis HaMikdash, not the Levium. And the Torah says, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash for food for the people, meaning even the Kayanim. Kayanim don't get Meiser. Kayanim don't get Meiser. So you see that Hashem agreed to the fact that Ezra made a takone that the Kayanim should get the Meiser. Right. Amr Rabbi Lazar says, "Begimel mekaymes in three places. Hefi aruach hakodesh, we find the divine spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, revealing itself. Where are the three things? Bebeis din shel shem, in the Beis Din of shame. We'll see, explain in a second what that is. Beis Din shel Shmuel HaRamasi, in the Beis Din of Shmuel, and the Beis Din of Shlomo HaMelech. And then the Gemara continues and discusses each one. What does it mean? The Gemara says as follows. The Beis Din shel shame, where do we see the Beis Din of shame? Because it says in the Yehuda and Tamar story, when Tamar was being taken out to be burnt at the stakes, yeah, and Yehuda said, she was the daughter of Bas Kayin, as Rashi says, you have to burn her. So the Pasuk says, Vayakir Yehuda, Yehuda recognized, you know, the ring and the stick and the everything. Vayayim, and he said, Tzadka Mimani. She's righteous, Tzadka, she's a tzadekis, because Mimani, she's pregnant from me. That's what the Pasuk says. So the question is, Mina Yada, how did Yehuda know that she bore his child? Why? Dilma Kiechadazel Ila Gaba, Josik Tamar, went to Yehuda for prostitution. Ozanami in a Shachrin Lagaba. Maybe she went to some other people. Meaning as follows. Yehuda, when Tamar is being taken out, and Tamar says, I'm pregnant from the guy that owns the stick, yeah? So Yehuda says, oh, she's pregnant from me. Yeah? How did Yehuda know? No, but how did Yehuda know she's... If she was a Zayna, if she was a prostitute, so how do you know she only went to him? She could have gone to another 1,000 men. How did Yehuda know that she's pregnant from him? So what do you see from there? So the Gemara answers, well, what does it mean? That Yehuda said, Sotka. Yehuda said, she's right. She was with me. Yotza Baskel, and a voice came out from heaven and said, Mimani Yotza Kvushim, all the hidden things are coming from me. Meaning, Yehuda said Tzadka, but Mimani Hashem said, this is the hidden things that are coming from me. Now the Mefarshim explained, obviously Shem wasn't alive. In the Yehuda and Tamar story, if you make a cheshbon of the year, Shem was long dead. Shem was the son of Noach. Nevertheless, his Beis Din still existed. Like they give the example, there was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel went on for many, many years after Hillel and Shammai passed away. So even after Shem passed away, his Beis Din was still called the Beis Din of Shem. So they screamed out, Hashem said, this whole enactment that went on is Mimani that came from me. Where do you see the Beis Din shel Shmuel, that there was the Ruach HaKodesh and the Beis Din of Shmuel? Because it says, when Shmuel was appointing Shaul HaMelech as king, so it says, Hinu Anun b'neged Hashem b'neged Mashichi. Behold, here I am, testify against me, he said to the people. Asher mi lokachti, did I ever take anybody's axe from you? And the Eden answered him, Lo yashaktanu v'lo yatsasanu, you have not defrauded us, you have not oppressed us. V'yem alem, so Shmuel said to them, Eid Hashem b'chem v'ad Mashichi, Hashem is a witness about you and about his anointed one, that you never found anything within me. I mean, Shmuel said, listen, I was a Navi, I never took any of your money, I never defrauded you, I never ripped you off. So, what happened? And he said, Eid, yeah, we're a witness. So the Gemara asked, why does it say Vayayimer? All the Jews were answering, it should say Vayayimru. They said, when Shmuel said, did I ever rip anybody off? So the Pasuk says, no, you didn't. But the Pasuk's Vayomer, he said. Who's the he? It should have said, they said. He was talking to the Jews. So the answer is, who is it? Yartzeh Baskel, a voice came out from heaven and said, I am the witness. So Vayomer is singular because it means Hashem said. So from here again, you see that God's divine presence was revealed in the Beis Din of Shmuel HaNavi. Where do you see it between the Beis Din of Shlomei? This is a cute thing. He says, you know the famous story with the baby, with the mother, whose baby is it? Okay. So it says, Vayema Melech, the king answered and said, Tanula Sayoda Lachai, give her the living child, Vamesai Simisun, don't kill it, Kihi Ima, because it's the mother. You know, everybody knows the story the way Shlomo HaMelech found out. They tell the opposite way with mother-in-laws. This one's a killing, this one's a killing. It's a, whatever. So anyway, so it says, so the Gemara asks, Mino Yoda, how did Shlomo HaMelech know who the real mother was? Dilma Ayurim Amam, maybe she was tricking him. Maybe she tricked him. So she said, how did Shlomo HaMelech know? So the answer is because Yatzat a Baskel went out and said, he imay, she is the mother. Meaning, when the Pasuk says, she is the mother, it wasn't Shlomo HaMelech that said, God said, this is the mother. So you see from all these three cases that there was Ruach HaKodesh in them. The mother-in-law story, they tell the story, there was two chasanim going to a city where there are two kalas. The two grooms going to meet two brides. Along the way, one of the grooms got killed. So now, one chasan for two brides to pick. So, they didn't know what to do. They're both fighting. What one bride said is my chasan, and one the other bride said, no, it's my chasan. So they went to Beis Din. Two mothers of the bride. So no, the Rav didn't. They came to a Beis Din with the mothers. Everybody came. So they said, "We have a problem. We don't know who the chassan goes to." So the Rav says, "Very simple. Half. Cut the chassan in half, and each girl will get half." So one of the girls said, "No, don't do that." And the other mother said, yeah, do it. So he said, the one that said, do it, is the mother-in-law. She is the real bride. Okay, so now just finish this. Amr Avad Avad said, Mimai, how do you know that a heavenly voice spoke? Dilma Yehuda Kiva, maybe Yehuda calculated. The Choshev Yarchiv Yehuda. You had to figure out exactly 9 months from the time he was with her to know exactly it was his. So the Gemara says this. The Chazina and Machzakinan. The Lei Chazina and Lei Machzakinan. Because what we see, the Gemara, this is part of the question. The Gemara says, the truth is, Yehuda could have reckoned it. Because if Yehuda knew 9 months is from the time he was with her until the baby was born, or supposed to be born, Yehuda could have known, listen, what I did was certain. What other men were with her, who knows? So therefore, Yehuda technically could have reckoned that it's his baby. And the same thing, Shmuel Nami, when the Torah says, Vayomer, and the Gemara says, it doesn't say, Vayomru, they said. It says, he said, that I'm a witness that Shmuel was an honest prophet. So he says, Kul Yisrael kol b'loshin yechid. Listen, the Jews are called singular. Like it says, Yisrael, Neisha b'Hashem, Israel, you, singular, are saved by Hashem. So it's possible, technically, that it was singular, the Jews. Shlema HaMelech, by Shlema HaMelech also, the fact that this woman was compassionate. And this one wasn't compassionate, he knew. So Rav is asking a question, basically. All these things, you don't have a proof that really God spoke. Because each one of the proofs, you can show that the guy was smart to understand that this is what was going on. So the Gemara answers, you're right, Ella Gemara. You're right. How do we know that the Ruach HaKodesh spoke by Shem and by Shmuel and by Shlomo HaMelech? It was tradition. There's no proof in the Pesukim. We know that God spoke by Shmuel and God spoke by Tamar, Yehuda, and God spoke by Shlomo HaMelech. And that's how we know. Okay, let's just start the next piece of Gemara and we'll just start it. Darash Rav Simloi learned. Sheish meyeris shleish esri mitzis nemel lemeshe misinai. Nemel lemeshe. 613 mitzis were given to Meshe. This is, by the way, this is the Gemara. These two lines of Gemara are the source for what everybody knows about the 613 mitzis. How do we know there's 613 mitzvahs? Where does it say such a thing? Yeah, the Rambam got it from this Gemara. The interesting thing is the Rishonim argue what are the mitzvahs. Much of the Rambam counts certain things as one of the 613 mitzvahs that the Ramban argues. And the Smag argues, and the Chinuch argues. There's a lot of machlekes in the Rishonim, who the ones that the codifies that go through all 613 mitzvahs. There's big arguments which ones they are. But the Gemara says a statement, there are 613 mitzvahs. 613 mitzvahs were given to Meshach Messina. And he says, Shleish Meshach Shishim V'chomesh, 365 negative mitzvahs corresponding with Yemes HaCham, corresponding with the solar calendar. And as Rambam writes in his introduction, every day of the year says, don't sin on me. Don't sin on my day. Masayim v'aboy m'shmein asrei, and 248 positive mitzvahs, k'neged evarav shalom, corresponding with the parts of the human being. In Kabbalah it says, and that's what you say in the Mishaberach, the machi varav v'shasa gidov. This is not in Gemara, this is in Kabbalah, that it says that the 365 number also corresponds with the veins in the person. There's 365 main, whatever it is, veins in the person's body. So the Nlaisasa corresponds not only with the days of the sun, it taka corresponds with the human body. And it's interesting, based on this, I mean, I don't know if Rabbi Wolf is here, but based on this, the Gemara says in Becheiris, women don't have 248 organs. They have 252. Another opinion says 254. But Gemara says basically that the women have 252 organs. So that's why by a woman's mishaberech, you don't say ramache vareha. You say b'chole vareha v'gideh, because she doesn't have 248 organs. Yeah, but once already you cut the whole thing out. Okay, with this Gemara we just started.